Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
7:04 on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We've got the good, the bad, and the ugly from Sunday night's Falcons 49ers game on deck. But here's what you need to know before you head out the door. The World Series is officially set. Blue Jays won Game 7 of the ALCS last night against the Mariners 4-3. George Springer hit a 3-run homer that will take his team back to the World Series for the first time since 1993. Game 1 of the World Series is this Friday. In Monday Night Football's doubleheader, Lions beat the Bucs 24-9 and the Seahawks beat the Texans 27-19. Dyson Daniels is here to stay. He and the Hawks just worked out a 4-year, $100 million rookie contract extension. The NBA regular season starts tonight with a doubleheader as the defending NBA champs OKC welcome in Kevin Durant and the Houston Rockets. And then the Warriors take on the Lakers in L.A. And in morning shift news, Bo is in charge of Top 5 Tuesday today.
Ooh.
At 7:40. We haven't brought this up yet today.
Dun, dun, dun.
Do you want to tease what your category is going to be?
Do I have 60 seconds?
Does it need 60 seconds?
I was going to say, yeah. Just knock it out in 10.
I was debating between the best sub sandwiches that you can find, because when we were leaving the stadium, Mike will tell you there's a pregame table, a postgame meal. And I walk up, and there's a place called Berticelli's, I believe is the name of it. And that's where the sandwich comes from. I ask the guy, I go, hey, man, what kind of sandwich is this? And he goes, it's the best damn sandwich you'll ever eat. And I go, well, you didn't answer my question, but I'll take it. And it was phenomenal. But I pivoted because it's Halloween season, and I'm going to do the worst Halloween candy that people give out. And I'm excited for it.
Ooh, okay. I like this. I like this.
Yeah. I almost did the subs, though, but I just like, man, I don't know. It's just so hard.
Subs are hard.
I'm sitting there going, why do you need 60 seconds for this? And then afterwards, I'm like, yep, he needed 60 seconds.
Got it.
For
that.
I still don't know why the guy couldn't tell me it was on the sandwich. And then I went to their website, and they don't give it's a secret. Everything's a secret on the sandwich. It's really weird, but it's really good.
What about people with allergies, though? I feel like you have to...
You have to disclose.
Yeah, I took that risk because I do have a shellfish. I hope there's no shellfish in this. No crab meat.
Well, we'll be talking about candy then. It's 7:40, not sandwiches, just so you know. But we do need to get to the good, the bad, and the ugly for the Falcons game against the 49ers Sunday night. I know that both of you have been reviewing film, kind of looking things over. I mean, Mike, with your years with the Falcons, you have great experience in this. Bo, you've been traveling with the team for over a decade, so... Lay it out straight. What was the good this week?
My good's very simple, and because I'm about to go in hard on Zach Robinson here in a minute when I get to bad and ugly. But my good is their actual attempt to diversify the offense in the first half. They tried to throw a screen to Kyle Pitts. It got blown up. They tried to throw a screen to Charlie Warner, lined up at the tight end position. It also got blown up and sniffed out. They tried to run a counter action with Bijan in the backfield. It got blown up. They did score on a screen to Bijan Robinson. So there were attempts in a lot of different ways to diversify what they were doing offensively. Just some of them did not work because of the blocking that was put in place. But some of the things they did were just fine. So I say all that because I'm going to lead to it later on.
Mutual Mike there with the diversity, the diversify.
Mutual fun, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, my good is really, I struggled because I thought they did good things here and there. But the one thing I went back and looked at is as much as they gashed you in the run game, they were never able to use that to really exploit it with big play action shots. They didn't have one play of 20 yards or more in the entire game. San Francisco didn't. And you held Mac Jones to under 200 yards passing. And I thought because Kendrick Bourne is going off, George Kittle didn't get anything. I don't think he had a catch. I thought the Falcons did a good job of not allowing explosive plays off play action and in the passing game to what Kyle Shanahan, you know, he wants to use that. He knows he's so good at setting you up. And you really held them to blowing the game open because of that. And so I thought that was good for the defense.
All right, let's move on to the bad then.
My bad was Elijah Wilkinson. If I was his coach, and this is, you're never going to do this in the NFL, it's probably against the rules, but he'd be practicing without a helmet. His face is so involved in his pass protection. His face is so involved. He's leaning at the waist. He has no hands, and his face is so involved in pass protection. He has no chance to get separation from himself and the actual edge rushers that he's going against. I'd be making him practice without a helmet on. I'd be like, dude, if you get your face involved, you're going to break your nose. Keep them away from you. Utilize your arm length. You have great feet. Just use your hands and pass pro. And, boy, he lost those things at some point in that game.
Yeah, he's struggled the last 2 weeks, Mike, to be fair. He has struggled. And it's hard because Jake is banged. You know, last week, Jarrell in the second half, right? The offense really struggled in that. And then Jake got injured. And he was injured this week, and he's limited. So I think you gave him a little bit of help this week. And Wilkinson's not done a good job on his own. Mine was just the entirety. I've gone back and watched, and there were the trench play in entirety. You were blown off the ball so bad defensively. I mean, I just watched a play where it was like Moses parting the sea, their offensive line. They absolutely destroyed you up front on both sides of the ball. No team in the NFL can win that way. And it just can't be that bad. It absolutely cannot be that bad.
All right. And now we got to get to the ugly. Mike, where would you want to start on this?
I'm going to start with the identity crisis we have on offense. And I just talked about the good with Zach Robinson because I think he's actually trying. I can see the growth, right? We're trying to set things up. We're trying to run screens. We're trying to get them off balance. We're trying to get misdirection in there. We are still, in our run game, still living Arthur Smith's vision, right? And I say that because Arthur Smith was trying to build a very athletic offensive line with Bijan Robinson that can run wide zone, right? But the problem is that when Arthur Smith built it, why did they get rid of Matt Ryan here? The reason they got rid of Matt Ryan is because he's not an athletic quarterback. So then you went with Marcus Mariota. You tried to go with Desmond Ridder. You tried to build in this concept of, I'm going to be really athletic offensively. I'm going to run wide zone. When everything breaks down, or I can run zone read in the red zone, I can do some things with the quarterback through the run game. The same way that they've done kind of in Washington, some other things. They were trying to build it. That was Arthur Smith's vision for the run game, for the offense. And what you did is you brought in Zach Robinson, who right now his vision for the offense is Sean McVay in what they're doing in Los Angeles, which is pocket passing quarterback with Matt Stafford, all these kind of pieces moving in the passing game, and then they play bully ball up front with their offensive guards. I don't have it in front of me. I would be willing to bet you anything that both the guards in L.A. weigh 330 pounds because that's what the offense does. You run duo, you blow them off the ball straight ahead, and you're bullies up front. We have this identity crisis where we are still living out Arthur Smith's vision on offense of all this athleticism, but yet we don't utilize that at the quarterback spot, and it's disjointed. We're running two different offenses at the same time. We're running Arthur Smith's vision for the run game, and we're running Sean McVay's vision for a passing game with Matt Stafford, and it's not matching up, and that's why you see the product you see on the field on Sundays.
How much of that has to do with Dwayne Ledford and being the run game coordinator, and not blaming D-Led because I think he's a hell of an O-line coach. I'm just asking.
I think it has a little bit to do, but I think that both D-Led and Zach Robinson, I think this entire staff has to figure out what they want to be. I think D-Led's going, okay, yeah, you want to run this run game? I can do that. And it has worked. We've seen Bijan have times. But they also they're not utilizing the same tools. Matthew Bergeron's probably our biggest lineman right now if it's not Elijah Wiggins. Matthew Bergeron weighs 310.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, we're not going to bully people off the ball that way.
And this is where I disagree about Penix. I watched it. I watched it up there, and I know you watched it too. And you and I see a lot of things very similar. But I see some things just a little bit off. I saw him multiple times refuse to turn up field with a football. And I'm not so certain, and he's not an athletic player that can't do those things. I'm not telling you he's Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, but I'm telling you he's as much as Matthew Stafford is, if not more. He's as much as Aaron Rodgers is, and I just think he refuses to do it. I need him to do that.
I agree with you in the passing game. I'm also talking about it's not like they're asking him to in the run game either.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
But I think he could, and I think. They need to get out of that and say, look, we need you to do a little bit more. But look, we can further this. I'll give you my ugly was. So the Niners were 9 of 15 on third down, 60%. Okay. The reason they were 60% on third down because I didn't chart it, but I would tell you that their third down and seven or more. They probably had maybe five. They had such success on first down that they were able to A, hold on to the football, and B, have an extremely high conversion rate because of the fact that they didn't have very far to go. On the other, you were constantly in second and long offensively. So my ugly was your first down wins. You didn't have a lot of first down wins on either side of the ball. You didn't do well on first down offensively, and you did brutally bad defensively on first downs. First down is there's a thing where they'll tell you to stay on schedule, right? And basically stay on schedule is getting 3 or more yards on first down. And then it's 3 or more yards on second down, and then you're third and short. You can't have a penalty or run for negative yardage. And everyone wants to hammer, run the football, run the football, run the football. Well, if you run the football on first down and you get no gain or negative, you have to throw at that point. You have to. It's pretty much because you got to get back on schedule. If not, you're in third and nine and they can just pin their ears back and come after you, especially with as bad as you played up front.
When you've heard Mike and Bo's good, bad, and ugly now, if you have another opinion, differing opinion, we'll open up this conversation on Twitter. Let's hear from you at 929 Morning Shift. And this Saturday, I want to remind you from noon to 2, I'm going to be on the road. You can join me at Ed Voyle's Kia of Chamblee as we get ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kits, a 50-inch 4K smart TV. A stand comes along with it, a Yeti cooler, and another winner takes home tickets to an upcoming home game. That's this Saturday from noon to 2 at Ed Voyle's Kia. Coming up, there was a major injury in Monday Night Football as the Bucs lost. We'll get into that next as we go in the huddle on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift at 7:25. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. And we're going to go in the huddle in a moment. But, Mike, did you get measured for your special clothes yet for the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic?
Did you say special clothes?
I did. Yeah, because that's what I thought I heard you asking Drew the other day.
Oh, yeah. No, and I haven't gotten my club measurement done. I need to do that. I've got a tee time this Friday, actually, and it's just beautiful golf weather these days, so I need to get that situated.
You got to get ramped up. Bo, are you ready for the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic?
Not yet. I mean, I got stuff to do for it, but yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for it because we've got some spots still available, but you need to jump in, go to the 99 of the Game events page, and there's a link there. Go sign up. There's
how many of those foursomes do you have available?
Foursomes. Well, I mean, we have a few. I mean, you need to go get up there and sign up. I don't know the exact number, but there's a couple.
Okay.
You also sponsor a hole. It's easy to do that. There's plenty of things. Not the speed hole, though. I believe our friends at Echo Park Speedway are taking over that.
That one's taken.
Zoom, zoom.
But, yeah, Finley Roofing is a big sponsor of it, and obviously it's all at Eagle Watch. But it's a good time. We have a lot of fun. There will be booze.
There will be booze. Okay, good. Good to know. And it's all to benefit Pets for Vets. You can go to 929thegame.com. Or we've made it even easier on our Twitter account at 929morningshift. It's pinned to the very top. If you just want to click there and get all the information. Again, it's the third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic presented by Finley Roofing. Panthers quarterback Bryce Young has a high ankle sprain from Sunday. He is expected to miss this week's game against the Bills. Andy Dalton will start in his place.
Why am I just not I should be more of a believer in Bryce Young. That's a 4-3 team. They're actually ahead of the Falcons in the standings right now. But when I heard this news, Bo, I immediately was like, oh, their offense might be a little bit better. I don't know why. I don't know why I have that feeling.
They're not going to be better.
Yeah.
He's done a good job at keeping plays alive, moving in the pocket. They're a team that I can't tell you what they do really good. Like, I don't know what they do really well. They won against Dallas when they were able to score points against a bad defense and just play enough defense. And then last week, they went against a team that couldn't play offense at all, and they barely, but that can play defense, and they didn't do much at all offensively, but they did just enough to win. So they're just winning games somehow, and I think it's a testament to the coaching staff. I think Dave Canales is doing a good job there. Bryce Young being out, though, I do believe hurts them.
Interesting. Opportunistic, I think, is what they do well. They're opportunistic.
Bucks lost in Monday Night Football to the Lions 24-9. Unfortunately, Mike Evans will miss most of the rest of the season after breaking his collarbone last night.
I am such a fan of Mike Evans and the way he goes about his business. I hate to see that, obviously, for them. And the loss was huge for the Falcons, though, right? I mean, we just talked about the Panthers being in second place, but if you still have your eyes on that division, somebody had to slow down Tampa Bay at some point, and you look to Detroit to do that. They handled business with that.
I love it. They did the Lions did this a really good job. Jahmyr Gibbs went flat off last night.
He's so good, dude.
It's crazy because him and Bijan, same draft, both teams were criticized for taking the said player, and both players are absolutely phenomenal. Dude, there's quite a few really good running backs in this league, and there's quite a few that are very versatile too.
Yeah,
I mean, you look at McCaffrey, you look at Bijan, you look at Saquon, you look at Jahmyr Gibbs, James Cook. I think Derrick Henry is more versatile than people kind of give him credit for.
Throw Kyron Williams and Amarian Hampton in there too.
That's two very good guys. Bucky Irvin,
good call.
There's some guy. Rico Dowdle is a guy it's kind of exploding in some ways. I think Chuba Hubbard he's been injured, but I think he can kind of fit in that. There's some really good running backs in this league. It's kind of crazy to watch the resurgence that they've had.
So Mike McDaniel is refusing and choosing to ignore all the noise around his job right now.
There's a piece of me that's, from an integrity standpoint, that I just refuse to go into that world of speculation when I'm currently I'm holding the job. I think that's kind of irresponsible.
What? What did I just hear?
But what do you do? If everyone's saying you're going to lose your job, what else do you do? Do you sit there and dwell on it, or you just try to keep moving forward?
I just think I would have said, not talking about that. My focus is on beating the Falcons.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's talking about. What word did he just use? I don't know. But to his credit, he's been that guy since day one when he was good, and he's still a guy, you know, in this rough patch. And mm-hmm. So I'll give him credit for at least staying true to himself, because I don't know what he's talking about.
I'm so sick of hearing about this guy. It's every week, and he goes up here and he gives some wackadoodle answer that doesn't really follow in line with what he was asked. I've never disliked him, but I absolutely was just appalled by the way he treated Quinn Ewers when he walked off the field. A guy that goes on the field for the first time ever as a quarterback that you drafted, and he comes off the field after his first series, and you don't even acknowledge that he exists. Like, what are you doing? Do you want the guy to succeed? I mean, maybe this is why your other quarterback is getting benched. I mean, he's not a leader. I don't think there's any leadership quality that I've seen. And somebody was tweeting me yesterday, he was like, all right, I take him here right now. And I said, you know what? 3 weeks ago, I would have agreed with you. But now I don't want that dude to have anything to do with a young offense and a young team like mine.
Where would it leave Tua if he gets fired? Is Tua cooked too?
Well, the contract.
Yeah, but I look at that situation and I'm like, is Tua just, is he broken, or is the relationship with Mike McDaniel broken, or is it McDaniel's offense that's broken? Or is it all the above? I don't know.
I think you have to take a real strong look at Tua, because Tua was succeeding early in that offense and he was playing well, and then more concussions, and then whatever has happened with that locker room. Tyreek Hill went rogue last year. There's no leadership. I think if I went in there a new GM, I'd say, well, I'm strapped with this. I might as well see what I can get for at least a year from a different coach and a different leadership group. Because I think the first thing that's broken there is leadership. And Tua, I don't know, he tries to be one. They need to clean house. I don't say it very often, but they need to clean house in Miami.
Interesting.
How much time do you think is left on this? Like, is this a fair or foul? Dylan will get his car back before Mike McDaniel loses his job.
At least we move on to the next phase.
I was going to say, I hope it doesn't take Dylan that long. No, I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's any future of him in Miami, but I don't know. The coaching hires in NFL are so much different than college football, in my opinion, because I think in college football you have obvious targets when you make moves like this.
Yeah.
And I think in the NFL it's like, oh, well, we'll see who becomes available. There's so much season left. Like, they're going to be a hot coordinator, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that there's a ton of upside to make moves like this other than just sending a jolt through the entire team. But I don't know how much, if you're the owner of the Miami Dolphins, I don't know how much more you can watch of what's been going on there. It's been crazy.
Well, and defensive end Brandon Graham has decided to come out of retirement and is finalizing a deal to rejoin the Philadelphia Eagles this week.
Can I just tell a story about a guy named Brett Romberg that signed back with the Atlanta Falcons after a year of being off, and he showed up. I can't remember. I think somebody got hurt, and Brett Romberg had not been on the team in over a year. And Thomas Dimitroff called him and was like, are you in good shape? He was like, yeah, man, I've been working out really hard, weigh about, 285, and I can put on some weight. And he literally showed up in the facility shoving sandwiches in his mouth so that for his weigh-in, for his physical, that he would be up to weight. Because it turns out he was really about 265 at the time and was trying to gain a bunch of weight for his weigh-in. Man, I'll never forget that. It's crazy. Like, I cannot imagine taking that much time off of football and then being like, you know what? I'm going to go play in the NFL.
Right.
Like, what? That's crazy.
Yeah, and obviously this is kind of a reactionary thing to Za'Darius Smith, saying, you know what? I'm done. I'm out of here. You guys suck. That guy's reading books on the sidelines. There's a there's a meathead walking around with a headset that's supposed to be our security guy, and the coach is a jerk.
Well, coming up, it is Top 5 Tuesday. Bo is giving us the worst Halloween candy ever.
Yeah, I don't, you know, like, and my honorable mention isn't even really a candy, but it always shows up in your when I was a kid, it would randomly show up in your, like, your candy bucket or bag or whatever, and you're like, who the hell put this in here? Egg in their house.
We'll get his list next, and the Hawks have locked down Dyson Daniels. It's all next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. We do have Top 5 Tuesday on deck. Bo is handling that momentarily. This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Guys, we're all going to need to do a shoey to celebrate what has happened in Atlanta.
What's a what?
A shoey. It is an Australian tradition where you drink a beer out of a boot.
Okay.
A real boot or just a boot-shaped glass?
Is this a real
thing
or did you make this up?
No, this is a real thing. If you go to any concert in Australia, the artist will stand on stage and
There's
drink.
There's no way that's true.
Absolutely true.
Sorry.
I have watched Luke Combs
There's
do
no
it.
Way
I have
this
watched Dierks
true.
Bentley do
have
it.
Have you watched a lot of concerts while you're in Australia?
I have not been there, but I'll stream them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you can find them on Instagram probably. If
you have to
it.
Do it, though. It's tradition. When you're celebrating something major, you drink a shoey.
Seems made up. I don't know. What were they celebrating the concerts? Just being in Australia? Like, we're here.
Yeah, we're
Let's
here.
Celebrate,
we're
baby.
Celebrating.
Let's go. Yeah.
And it's not like a new shoe. You got to take it off your foot. Like,
oh.
Well,
I'm solid on that.
That's one of those things where, you know, the artist, like, disappears to go get a new guitar or something, and he comes back, and you don't realize he's wearing different shoes.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to drink out of this.
He's got New Balances
on. Yeah. I'm going to drink out of this.
Well, I guarantee we're going to have to ask Dyson Daniels about this because he is here to stay. He and the Hawks agreed to a 4-year, $100 million rookie contract extension.
Yeah. I love it, man. Obviously, just elite in the way he goes about his business. I'm just excited about the Hawks season being here and the fact that he's going to be a part of it for some time. It is interesting to me that we've had all these Trae Young contract talks. You know what I mean? Like, we've been like, yeah, it's Trae long-term, blah, blah, blah. Dyson is like, dude, if you can play defense in the NBA, welcome to the team, baby. Like, if you can play at that high level, you're going to be here for a long time.
Nah, I absolutely love this deal. I know there are reports out there that he was looking for somewhere near 5 for $150, and it seems like they kind of met in the middle. 4 for $100 is close-ish, so I'm really happy they...
That's not the middle.
I mean, took one... I don't know.
I think he took one for the team.
He might have. And if he did that, I'm all for that too. But I'm happy they got this deal done, particularly before the season started, because you know, and at this point I think the Hawks know that they want Dyson Daniels, whether Trae Young's going to be here or not, and Mike just kind of alluded to it, whether Trae Young's going to be here for the foreseeable future or not, Dyson Daniels needs to be a part of this team, because if you are going to have a championship team, you need a guy like Dyson Daniels on a championship caliber team. Play defense, shut down the best perimeter player, best guard, whatever the case may be, especially with what guard play is becoming now in the NBA and how crucial it is in the NBA. We know the steals he can get. And then he's very solid on offense, too. He can get to the rim, get his little floater off. Three-point shooting is getting better and better over each year. And you can tell his confidence is growing within the offense, too. So I just feel like he has definitely become a staple so quickly of this Atlanta Hawks team that him being tied down definitely is good for the Hawks' future.
Yeah, guys like Dyson Daniels, they travel. And what I mean by travel is they can play on any team. Like doesn't matter who is running. It doesn't matter if Trae Young's here or not. I think it's a really solid point. I think if he was looking for $5,150, he essentially lost an extra year and $50 million by signing $4,400. I don't think that's
No. I actually agree with Dylan's point. If they were offering him 20 per year for 5 years, and he wanted 30 per year for 5 years, and they met in the middle, and they were like, hey, we'll take a year off. You're eligible for free agency a year earlier, and we'll pay you 25 per. That's kind of meeting in the middle.
$50 million, and it's not the 1 year. It's a $50 million, because any contract in the NBA is fully guaranteed. Lost out on $50 million. I don't consider that quite the middle. I would consider maybe, like, if you wanted that extra year and an extra $50 million, I would have thought maybe – 4 years, like 120. But I think it's good for everybody. He's $100 million richer now, and the Hawks got a top-tier defensive player, and it doesn't affect your plans for Trae Young in any way, shape, or form.
I wonder what the amount of money is that you buy a private jet. You know what I mean? If you're from Australia, yeah, like, where, at what point do you, like, you know what, man, I got enough coin in the bank, I'm going to buy a jet. Because you're going to Australia that much, it's like, nah, go ahead and load that thing up.
I just hope Dyson enjoyed a nice blooming onion last night.
There you go.
I'm pretty sure for that money, he got more than a blooming onion.
I think he had a couple of Fosters, is that?
Yeah.
A beer and a blooming onion.
Australian for beer.
You're wild, bro. That's funny.
All right, before we get to Top 5 Tuesday, make sure to join the Morning Shift every Friday for the Tailgate at Home presented by Publix. Bo Morgan, right here to my left, will fire up the grill and share his favorite game day recipes. And you can share your best work on the grill by tweeting at the Morning Shift. It's the Tailgate at Home presented by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix.
If you want to chug a beer out of Das Boot, you can do it with New Realm, the Allen Lager, the official beer of Kennesaw State Athletics. Don't forget my friends at Baron Burton's, all of their fine products that you can pair with your tailgate at home, and you can find it at Publix, as Allie mentioned earlier. So, told you earlier, I was wavering. I didn't know if I wanted to do, like, top sub sandwiches you can get, or going with the theme of Halloween. And I figured one of you guys next week, whoever has it, could probably do the best Halloween candy. I particularly like to go with the worst because I think they're so easy to point out.
I'm just glad you didn't do the sub sandwich because anything other than the pub sub is an absolute miss. So let's just move on from that.
Well, and that was the thing. I was thinking about it, and I was like, all right, pub sub would probably be one because all of their subs are phenomenal. But then, like, you picking just one, I would just say any pub sub. But then, two, I was probably going to do the Club on a Sub from Firehouse because those are phenomenal. But that sandwich I told you I had from Berticelli's was phenomenal. But anyways.
Sounds Jersey like you're Mike. Already doing the sub as your top
Jersey
five.
Mike's needs to be in there, too, while we're on it.
That's a good call. Good call. Jimmy John's.
I would do Jimmy John's over Jersey Mike's. But anyways, there is no Subway on there. I'm not a big fan. All right. Top five worst Halloween candy. And I'm going to go ahead and put this out there. The honorable mention is not really candy, but it always finds its way in your trick-or-treat bag, right?
Okay.
If you do this, I want you to go ahead and buy 3 dozen eggs and throw them at your house on your own. Because if you're the person that buys the little fun packs of raisins and hand them out on Halloween, you should egg your own house. Mm.
I would co-sign on that. I've seen that before. It's not something that my kids have experienced in the last couple of years, but I do remember that from my childhood. So I'll co-sign on that. That's a bad look.
It's not a candy.
Bad look. I'd rather you throw floss in my bag at this point.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
There's people that do that too. Save me money.
There's people that do that too.
Number five.
Smarties. You know what I'm talking about? First off, there's a theme on this list. If it ain't chocolate, it's terrible.
Wow.
I want chocolate on Halloween, all right?
Okay. Jolly Ranchers would like a word, but continue.
Well, thank you. I was about to say.
The gummy Jolly Ranchers, yes. Gummies or chocolate. But I don't want hard candy, and I don't want anything that's not chocolate. Smarties, they're just stupid. Throw them out.
Number four.
You guys ever seen the generic-ass looking wrappers that are just orange and black?
Yes.
And they hand up in your kind Halloween.
Yeah.
Those are called peanut butter kisses.
Ew.
Oh, my God.
And I am a guy that will take a spoon and dip it in peanut butter. But I don't want it in my Halloween basket, and I don't want it in that hard form.
Are we talking about the same thing? Like these, like they're Hershey's kisses? No.
They're peanut butter kisses. They're not they're not made by Hershey's, my knowledge.
I'm just making sure. When you said kisses, I was like,
That's what the proper name is, but they're round and they're in orange and black generic wrappers.
Yeah.
It's like you went to the Big Lots and was like, I want the cheapest candy I can
get. I know exactly what you're talking about. And you're knocking this out of the park so far.
Yes. Number three.
Number three.
Tootsie Rolls. I don't like them. I don't like you. They're almost like a taffy type material, and you think they're chocolate, but they ain't.
What about a Tootsie Pop?
They're not chocolate.
Nah, I don't think. I think they're
chocolate taffy.
They don't taste chocolatey to me at all. In any
I don't
way.
Know. I mean, like.
I'm
I could have agreed at like honorable mention. Not on this, but a Tootsie Rolls have a place.
Tootsie
Rolls have a place in the bag.
They're okay.
They're supposedly.
Nah, I'm with both. Tootsie Rolls don't belong.
They have a. They're supposed to be like chocolate, but with like a fruit taste. I think they're garbage. Get them out of here.
I don't know.
Right. Number two,
Sugar Daddies.
What?
Not a fan. Don't need it. Don't want it. Get it out.
Dude,
Bo, you're cooking. You're cooking, Bo. I'm all in on Bo's list right now.
If you actually even want to know, it's like I don't even know how to explain it. It's like caramel. I don't like caramel by itself. I don't need it in a wrapper. And I don't need it in my Halloween basket. All right, or whatever the hell you call it, your trick or treat.
Interesting
bag.
I'm pretty sure we used to have someone on the show that was seeking out sugar daddies, but continue nonetheless.
Number one.
Maybe find one at Publix and the pub sub. Number one, the worst candy ever invented. Candy corn.
I knew it.
Yeah.
It's garbage. I don't want it. I don't need it. Can't win with it. Just brutal.
I think this list would have been awful had you not had it at one. I don't understand how it continues to make money. It's like people are just using it as a filler.
I like candy corn.
It's you know what it's
stop it.
I was about to say I would have actually put Tootsie Rolls at one and candy corn like at two, maybe three. I dislike Tootsie Rolls and Sugar Daddies more than I do candy corn.
I'm with you there. I hate them, but the candy corn I hate too. The thing is Well, the first time I had candy corn, I was like, that's ass. I'm never having it again. I actually convinced myself to have a Tootsie Roll again, and I still didn't like it, and a Sugar Daddy. Yeah,
they were cheeks. That's crazy.
Question, though, about all of these. If they were all in a bowl, and it's not Halloween, it's just a candy bowl at the front desk or something, would you be like, that's a terrible candy dish?
Yes.
Yeah, really? I would.
You know what all five of these are? They're like, if you don't have a personality, you like these candies.
No. Here's what they are. They probably are all sold in a variety bag together because they're just fillers.
I think
Smarties caught a stray.
Not
I think
a fan.
Smarties caught a stray.
Not a fan.
I can rock with Smarties a little
Smarties
bit.
Smarties are refreshing. I also, the candy corn, that one is hurting me because I like the pumpkin version
of it. You're
so
far off on that.
No,
It's so rare for you to be so wrong about something.
It's like eating a candle. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing?
Kind of.
It's awful, man.
It's delightful.
I don't know, like a sugary candle.
I mean, you know what, Mike? You did now. I think you've got it great. It is like a variety bag. You're like, hey, if you want to be cheap and make people hate you, buy this bag of candy and give it out on Halloween. And the only people that are worse than you, really, and I know I put an honorable mention, are the people that think they should give out raisins. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
are they chocolate-covered raisins?
At least
yogurt-covered. Like you said, yogurt or chocolate-covered raisins.
But no, you want to give out little Sunbeam raisin boxes or whatever that company is that puts them out with. Like, no, man. Like, just egg your own house.
And without climate control, it all gets lumped together and it's one big raisin. It's just not good. Not good. We hit the hard-hitting topics here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you have an opinion on the worst Halloween candy, 404-726-0929. The wake-up call is coming up next. We're also talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly from Sunday night's game. Give us your opinion. 404-726-0929. The wake-up call is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.